Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to the Scriptures, may your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, Stephen gave us an excellent introduction to the book of Daniel and introduced the theme of our sermon series, namely, Faithful in a Foreign Land. He then showed how Daniel, as a teenager taken into captivity in Babylon, was able to maintain his integrity as a devout Jew, having skillfully avoided eating the food from the king's table, living on vegetables, and yet with his fellow young Jews prospered in health more than all the others being trained for the king's service. Today we are looking at chapter 2 of Daniel, which we have had read to us as our scripture lessons for the day. The book of Daniel is quite precise about timings, and immediately we know from verse 1 of chapter 2 that we are now in the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. From this we can work out that he has finished his 3 years training program and is probably 19 years old. However, the first 11 verses of chapter 2 don't mention Daniel at all, but they do set the scene for a time shortly to arrive when God will use Daniel to reveal secret mysteries. So let's have a look at the first 11 verses to understand what is going on. Verses 1 and 2. King Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. Have you ever had that experience? Most of us probably have, so we know what it is like. We can only speculate about what it was that troubled the king, but it could well have been that he was, despite his power, afraid deep down that, as he had conquered and subjected Judah, so his own kingdom might be threatened by other powerful neighbours. In any event, he didn't understand his dream, and he summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers and asked them to interpret the dream. The advisors came in, verse 4, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream and we will interpret it. It sounds as if they were pretty confident, so they were certainly taken aback by Nebuchadnezzar's reply. Like many a despot since, Nebuchadnezzar had become somewhat paranoid. He didn't trust his advisors. So he posed a double test, verses 5 and 6. The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut in pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So, tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Talk about stick and carrot. I won't read them again, but verses 7 to 10 tell us that the advisors tried again to persuade the king that what he was asking for, that he was asking for the impossible. And in verse 11, they summarize their argument. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men. Far from being persuaded, Nebuchadnezzar gets very angry and orders that all the wise men of Babylon be executed. not for the first time, nor for the last time, a despotic ruler's paranoia overrules any sense of reason or justice. Even though Daniel and his three young companions have not been present during this confrontation, they were nevertheless included in the phrase, all the wise men of Babylon, and they were therefore in grave danger. When Arioch, the king, commander of the king's guard, found Daniel, he, Daniel, was still in ignorance of what had been going on. Verse 14 tells us that Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. Then, having learned of the situation, he showed great bravery in going to the king direct and asking for time so that he might interpret the dream. There are several things that we can learn from this. Firstly, the king has obviously still got a soft spot for Daniel, who had impressed him so much. You may remember from last week's sermon that Daniel and his friends were questioned by the king and found to be 10 times better than all the other advisers. Secondly, Daniel was confident that God would reveal the dream to him. Thirdly, he did not intend to seek God on his own, but would include his friends. And fourthly, their prayers were for mercy from the God of heaven, not wisdom or knowledge for self-aggrandizement, simply recognizing that they needed to be rescued from execution. Verse 19, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Did Daniel rush up to the palace to deliver the vision to the king? No, he did not. His first response was to praise the God of heaven. In verses 20 to 23, we have his words of worship. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king. What a wonderful expression of thanksgiving and praise from a 19-year-old. Having given due worship to God for the vision he had received, you might expect that Daniel would once again rush directly into the king's court to gain favour by answering the king's impossible requirement to tell him what he had dreamed and then tell him what it meant. But he doesn't do this. His first concern is for all those advisers who are about to be executed. So he goes to Arioch, the commander ordered to carry out the executions, and said to him, verse 24, do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him. Arioch does so, but he can't resist taking the credit for himself, telling the king, I have found a man among the exiles of Judah who can tell the king what his dream means. Nebuchadnezzar, perhaps rather skeptically, asks Daniel if this is so. Daniel's reply is very important for us to note. Verses 27 and 28. Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he has asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown the king Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come." There are four things we should note here. Firstly, Daniel does not take any credit for himself. Secondly, he acknowledges the impossibility for any person, however wise or gifted, to answer the king's request. Thirdly, and most importantly, he witnesses to the true and only sovereign God in heaven. And fourthly, before he even starts to tell the vision and its interpretation, he summarizes its message, namely that God has revealed what will happen in days to come. We speculated earlier that Nebuchadnezzar's lack of sleep could have been due to his deep down fear that his kingdom, though powerful and extensive, might be conquered by an even more powerful neighbour in the future. As we shall see, it would seem that such speculation is not without some merit. In verse 29, Daniel tells the king not the dream itself, but gives an explanation of why he had the dream. "As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen." This is very much a repetition of verse 28 that we just considered a moment ago. "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mystery. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come." Before we look at the dream and its interpretation, let's just pause to think about this declaration by Daniel. Once again, there are four points to note. Firstly, the kingdoms and events of this world, however apparently powerful and however perplexing, are not out of control. They are subject to God's sovereign power and authority. Secondly, God has not abandoned this world to its fate, despite evil and sin and its consequent corruption and despoiling of creation. God still loves the world. As we know from that well-known scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. "God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Thirdly, God is active in the affairs of this world, and he knows what the outcome will be. And fourthly, as occasion demands, God will and does reveal the mysteries of his purposes to his servants, who are, as our sermon series theme puts it, faithful in a foreign land. We now come to the dream itself, which in a nutshell is of an awesome statue with a head of gold, a chest and arms of silver, a belly and thighs of bronze, legs of iron, and feet of a mixture of iron and baked clay. Then a rock, cut out but not by human hands, struck the statue on its feet and smashed them. Then the remainder of the statue was broken into pieces and blown away like chaff, without any trace being left. Finally, the rock became a huge mountain and filled the earth. This all seems fairly mysterious, but Daniel then gives Nebuchadnezzar the interpretation. Again, in a nutshell, God has given Nebuchadnezzar dominion and power and might and glory, and has put him over mankind, beasts and birds, wherever they live. In other words, Nebuchadnezzar is the head of gold. Then Daniel explains that there will be an inferior kingdom following Nebuchadnezzar's, and then third and fourth kingdoms, these represented by the silver, bronze, and iron parts of the statue. We don't have time to study the details, but suffice to say that most theologians seem to agree that these images are prophecies of the Persian, Greek, and Roman empires. More important than the detail is the clear overall message. God is in control of the rise and fall of earthly empires. All kings are under his rule, and his kingdom will ultimately reign supreme. Verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. Here is a clear prophecy of the coming of the kingdom of God, which Jesus preached, and of which we, as believers in him, have the inestimable privilege of being citizens. In verse 45, Daniel assures the king that this is the meaning of the rock, that God has shown the king the future, and that the interpretation is trustworthy. On his part, Nebuchadnezzar honors Daniel, lavishes him with gifts, and promotes him as ruler of the entire province of Babylon and in charge of all the wise men. Quite a promotion for a young man of 19 years of age. So what have we learned from this amazing story? God is sovereign over history and the kingdoms of this world. Human power is fragile, but God's kingdom is eternal. God does reveal the mysteries of his eternal purposes. We can seek and receive God's wisdom in confusing times. Surely we need this now. Amen.